C1R. Number 7B.
So, if we try to summarize this tone here, we can just quickly flow through it and see what is mind. Here, mind is expressed as the Christ and not as the Word. Therefore, it doesn't answer Christ. A mind is the creator and action and law and intelligence and power and creator and origin and author and so on, guides and leads. Now here, mind is the Christ idea. Mind knowing what it wants to do, the all-knowing, the omniscient mind, knowing its idea, and therefore we must see what nature this Christ idea is. So at the minus mind, therefore shows, look here, mind is good, and is only good. And if it's only good, and it's God good, then Spirit says there are not many minds which are good. There's only the one mind that is good. And therefore you only have the one mind and no other mind. That does away with my human thinking as a mind, small m. I have only one mind, the only mind there is, and that's God good. Therefore, at the point of soul, I can never fall away from God. Man is not fallen. Man cannot sin. Therefore, I'm at the position where I'm one with that mind that is God, that's principle, so that the principle is that the principle of my mind is God, so that I have no other mind but that mind which is God. And God knows. God is omniscient. Therefore, I begin to realize that that has the nature of life, that that mind is eternally at work in the eternal history of my life. It goes on and on and on. And as truth, I begin to see that what that mind works out are the facts of being, no matter if the corporeal senses accept it and see it or not, no matter if the human mind accepts it and sees that this is really the working of the one mind. I have to trust truth as a scientific truth that this is going on right now. And so I come to the tone of love and see I have never been away, never been separate from that one mind. Mind and its idea is coexistent and is working out the infinite plan. And you have to accept that or admit that. So the admission really to oneself that one is God's own image sets man free to master the infinite idea, to master the Christ idea. We become a master in the idea. And that means just as in music or in mathematics, we begin to master the calculations. The calculations are within the science of arithmetic, they are not ours, but we begin to master them, and here too we see that if we really realize what the true Christ mind is, we begin to master the idea by letting the idea live us, and not we trying to live the Christ idea. That's metaphysics of a very primitive level. Good. So we come to the next question, namely to the Christ in its aspect as Christianity on the level of Christian Science. What do we think, even if we wouldn't know what Mrs. Eddy is going to tell us, what would we think is the Christ at the point of Christianity. We would say, well, that's exactly what we have seen through 2,000 years, that we have a Christian religion, a Christianity, even if it's a wrongly understood Christianity, a Christendom, because that Christianity is using the doctrines of the Christ. And so I think the Christ at the point of Christianity would show that the Christian religions have a doctrine of the Christ, that they show the saving doctrine, and establishing therefore creeds and doctrines that should help us to save ourselves, so that we in Christianity, always when the focal point is we or men, can with the Christ somehow work out our own salvation. For that's the purpose of creeds and doctrines. So Mrs. Eddy asks here, are doctrines and creeds, can you see that's Christianity, a benefit Christ for men? Are doctrines of Christendom a Christ, a helping Christ, a saving Christ? Do they save? Has Christianity saved us? Isn't that very natural? When you begin to reason in categories. So here too, she brings up that and say, is there a Christ in creeds and doctrines? Is there a Christ in all those churches? In the church services, in the church doctrines, in the church rituals, is there a Christ there? So she has to answer that, because that would be Christ in Christianity. Perhaps I should have pointed out when we left the last question at the end, at the tone of love, that Mrs. Eddy said, let God be true and every man a liar. Again showing, let God work and don't interfere humanly with it, because if we think we can manage our life and can manage the Christ, then it's just one big lie, just one big error. And so we find the bridge here very easily to the Christ as Christianity, where we can see, therefore, all that what men put out as doctrines and dogmas and creeds, they are all man-made. They are not the Christ, the pure Christ, because the pure Christ cannot be put into the straight jacket of bylaws and doctrines and thou shalt not. The Christ is free, has an infinite idea, has its own infinite idea, which is known to mind and not to the human mind. And therefore we can see easily that man cannot lay down the Christ rules. So let God be true and not what people establish as Christ rules. So Mrs. Eddy begins to talk here how she in her youth was belonging to an Orthodox creed, and then caught the first gleam of what of that which interprets God above mortal sense. Again, it's not the interpretation of creeds that would save her. She began to get the gleams of God, good, that would save her, way above mortal sense. And this view rebuked human beliefs, rebuked the creeds and doctrines, and gave spiritual import to all that proceeds from the divine mind. Gosh, can we finally see that? that only that which proceeds from the divine mind is a savior. Now think of it. Now just have an overall view of what students of Christian Science think Christian Science is here for. Just have an overall view. Huh? It's there. I have this problem to solve. I'm just now working on this problem. I'm just not working out that problem. The time will come I have to work out that problem. It's a bigger car. It's a nicer house. It's a better wife. It's a better that the children behave themselves. It's working out this and that and the other. Huh? That's what is that what mind knows about it? No, it isn't. It is not Christian Science. You can't find any support in the textbook for that kind of metaphysics. Just not. It is what is needed is the student of Christian Science makes that paradigm shift from human thinking, which thinks I am the Christ, which thinks the human beliefs, the human wish, the human purpose, the human endeavors have a Christ, and have a paradigm shift completely to the point of going out from mind and not to direct mind and not to interfere with that mind, but to accept, as we have seen in the passage before, to admit that that mind is working within us because it is coexistent with us, and let that mind operate. And it operates 1,000 times better than all the other wishes and thoughts. Much better. And it works out the camels, and not the gnats, not the tiny little things. That's why a life can be big, instead of just like gnats. And it is the nature of God's man that he is big. It's not in the nature of God's man that he is insignificant. That's a religious belief, but not a scientific fact. So she could see that she had to get rid of those creeds and doctrines and began to see a gleam that everything must proceed from the divine man. And since then, her highest creed has been divine science. That's the new creed. Divine Science, which reduced to human apprehension, is named Christian Science. And we are here at the level of Christian Science, considering really that term. So you know that the term Christian Science is really relates especially, she says, to science that applied to humanity. What does that science teach us? In the place of dead doctrine, doctrines and creeds. It teaches us the living Christ, the life of God, and therefore Christian Science teaches what? Why should she now suddenly start with life, namely that God is the only life, and that this life is truth and love? Why should she start that way? Because she could see the other doctrines were dead as a dodo. They just couldn't do a thing. It doesn't lead anywhere. It isn't eternal. It hasn't an eternal history. So she began to see that if we would go out from the Christ, that is, let the divine mind operate, that this would lead us into eternal life and demonstrate life, truth, and love. So that God is to be understood, adored, and demonstrated. God has to be demonstrated. Not our list of wishes has to be demonstrated. That the divine mind, that the divine truth casts out suppositional error and heals the sick. Let truth do it. Let truth do it in its own way and not the way we prescribe it to the Christ. Therefore, she goes again back to life and says, the way, you know, the way is an idea of life, it's a method of life, that the way which leads to Christian Science is straight and narrow. Well, that's not the religious sense of straight and narrow. It is always so that everything that is scientific has a straight line. It doesn't scatter. It's not something that scatters the fire, but has a line of development, has a narrow way of leading on and on. Like the days of creation, they are very narrow and straight. Very narrow. You can only start with mind with the first day, you can't start with the third day. That's so narrow that it says you have to start with the first day. And it's so straight that it says that first day only leads to the second day. It never leads right to the third day or to the fourth day. So that those days of creation is really that way, that method of life, the method of the world that is straight and narrow and alone leads to Christian Science. Then, she says, then you get the benefits of Christian Science. Because science is coordinate with all that is real, harmonious, eternal. Sickness and death do not originate in that God. They are unknown therein. So that God's law, rightly understood, God's law, that way that is straight and narrow, that creative law that leads from mind to love is straight and narrow, that is God's law of creativity, rightly understood, destroys sickness, sin, and death. So in this way she presents really the Christ as Christianity in a wrong way, through doctrines and creeds, and say they are dead, they never lead anywhere, they have not a living Christ in them, it's a dead letter, it's bigoted. Whereas the Christ at the point of Christianity is that which is the one life that at the point of Christianity leads you the straight and narrow way to Christian Science, to that point where everything is coordinate with the real, the harmonious, and eternal. So that we can see, we enter into a new Christianity, the right sense of Christianity, through the Christ, that is God, mind, good. Yes? Well, that leads us to another aspect of the Christ as the Word, in Christian Science. Now, what on earth, if we wouldn't know what Mrs. Eddy is asking here and dealing with, what would we say that the Christ as the Word would be, positively, negatively? Because it's on the level of Christian Science, it always takes in the negative sense and corrects it. We could say, now, you see, what was the Christ as the Word in absolute Christian Science? You remember what it was? The question, what is intelligence? The answer, intelligence is a primeval quality of mind, which is omniscient. Omniscient? Therefore, it isn't so dumb. So it must correct that there is something very dumb. That also says, I am a Christ. I can also do something. And that which is so dumb is error. And says, I have also a Christ. I can upset the whole world. Can you see? It says, I have a power within myself. I can express myself. I'm not just an error, and that is an error. No, that error is going to make quite a lot of trouble. So error, really, if you analyze it, says it's dumb, it's ignorance, but saying, I have a Christ, I can do something, I can operate, I can express myself, and I can make a lot of trouble. That's the counterfeit of what is intelligence. And this is the question that she brings up here. What is error? And she doesn't just say, well, error is the opposite of truth, and that's that. It's so. But actually what she wants to say is that negatively, error as a statement, as a word, sense says, I have a Christ, an antichrist. I can operate. I can put the whole world on fire. Is that clear that this is an operational sense? We wouldn't fear error. Who would fear error if error would only be the word, just a statement? We would say, so what? So what? It's wrong. No, we fear it because we believe that it has an operative sense, that it can operate through power and bring about something, which is the counterfeit sense of the Christ. Naturally, she has to show that error is not the Christ as the Word, but the counterfeit of it, and therefore has to disappear. Quite right, because here we are on the level of Christian science. Therefore, the marginal heading here is very indicative of what she wants to show. It is evanescent materiality. Evanesce means to dissipate, to like vapor, disappear gradually or fade away, vanish. So she wants to show that Antichrist, instead of saying Antichrist, she says what is error, instead of saying what is the Antichrist, because error appears as that. She would show that has to disappear under the impact of the Christ as the Word from absolute Christian science, under the impact of what is intelligence, what is the omniscience of the divine mind. Therefore, she will show that we don't have to fear error, that this is something that just goes up in steam or in vapor and dissipates and disappears, and that is what she wants to show here. Error is a supposition, not a fact, a supposition. That pleasure and pain, that intelligence, word, substance, Christ, life, Christianity we had, are existing in matter. Can you see, she sums up again through intelligence, substance and life. She sums up again what we had in the absolute sense as the Word, Christ, Christianity. See? What is substance was the Christ, or can start in the order. What is intelligence was Christ as the Word. What is substance was Christ as the Christ. What is life was Christ as Christianity. So here she takes that whole sense of the Christ and says, if we think that is in matter, that's the Antichrist. That's the statement of the Antichrist. So if we take intelligence, substance and life and believe that is existing in matter, this is really the Antichrist, this is really animal magnetism. And that cannot stand. Error is neither mind, you see, she always comes back to mind as a Christ mind. Error is neither mind nor one of mind's faculty. Faculty has no Christ. Error is the contradiction of truth, a belief without understanding, unreal because untrue, that which seems to be but is not. So what is it, finally? And we just begin to see that she rips off that term, everything, and takes away. It is neither understanding, it's not true, it's not real, until finally there is nothing left. That's evanescent materiality. So if we have a true sense of the Christ as that which says that intelligence, substance and life is in spirit, then we have the Christ as the world. We state the Christ as what it is. And if we see and if we believe that intelligence, substance and life is in matter, then we believe in the Antichrist, that matter or error has also a Christ. And so if we turn this upside down and see the unreality of error and begin, as she says, to see mind's faculties, then the error begins to disappear. So she ends here that whole subject about the Christ. Let's take those last three questions and just see how they develop. We had on our sheet with the epitomes where we wrote in with our own handwriting the overall tone of the Christ, that God expresses himself. How? On the level of Christian Science. There we see on the level of Christian Science that only the mind, which is God, is actually a saving Christ. Therefore, the very first thing we have to see, that God good is the only mind of men, that we have no other mind but the mind that is God. And in that moment we touch the Christ idea for our own life. Then in the next question of Christ as Christianity, about the doctrines and creeds, we begin to see that only that which proceeds from mind can benefit men. You have the outcome of it, you have the Christianity, that only the Christ brings about the Christianity a benefit, whereas doctrines and creeds cannot, as they are only human beliefs, they do not come from mind. Therefore they cannot benefit men. And then at the point of word, Christ as word, we begin to see that error has no Christ, because it has no mind faculty, no Christ faculties. Actually, you see, I don't know why Mrs. Eddy has put it in this order, that I couldn't tell you by sure. If we would perhaps think along those ideas, perhaps we would put them into the order of Word, Christ, Christianity, in order to have a better flow. What would it mean? It would mean here, if going out from the Word, that we would state there is a Christ which is truth, the Christ which is truth, and that has mind faculties, the ideas. Then as a Christ, we would see that that mind is good. It expresses itself as always good, and therefore it's the mind of men. And as Christianity, naturally would see that this would benefit everybody and everything. So we don't need really creeds and doctrines. Well, just think along that way, and tomorrow we will perhaps recapitulate again what we have been doing. We are in the middle and the 12th question and answer. We may recapitulate and then go on to Christianity.